Well, in our last study together last Sunday morning, I mentioned that I want to do a couple takeaways from our study of Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, we saw the fall of Adam and Eve as well as the salvation of Adam and Eve. And now they are banished from the garden, but they have been saved now. But the question that I asked last week is the same question this week. Now what? Now what? And the first answer that we gave to that was in Hebrews 12:14, where the writer called for them to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, the now what is to pursue holiness, just as you and I are to do the same thing. And now I want to talk about how to do that. And to do that, I want to invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Last week I mentioned three problems. Today I want to give the solution to those three problems. Tucked away in Proverbs 4, beginning at verse 20, is a set of verses that talk about guarding your heart, essentially verse 23. But I want to begin at verse 20 and go down to verse 27. It's really essential that for Adam and Eve, now that they are fallen creatures, that they not only pursue holiness, but they also guard their hearts. And that, again, is true for all of us, that we guard the very source of our lives. We hear many times where people will say, I just need to trust my heart. And I don't think that's really something that you want to do. I really don't find anything like that in Scripture telling you to trust your heart. And you'll see why in just a few moments. But look down at verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. If you'll notice in verse 20 that this is instruction of a father to his son. It begins with my son. And you see that phrase, my son, 23 times in the entire book, but it dominates the first 8 chapters. And specifically speaking, this is Solomon exhorting his son to godly character and godly conduct. Solomon penned the first 29 chapters of Proverbs. Agur wrote chapter 30, and King Lemuel wrote chapter 31. Now, if you look down in verses 20 to 27, you'll find various terms used for the body. In verse 20, he mentions the ear. Verse 21, eyes and heart. Verse 24, mouth. Verse 25, eyelids. Verse 26, feet. The eyes are to stay fixed on right teaching, as the feet are to stay in the right path. The mouth and the lips must shun using any twisted words. And above all, the heart must be guarded by sound doctrine. And so if the son listens to his father, the whole body will be healthy. And this is really true spiritually. All these terms that we talk about here, there's only one term that mentions that what comes out of it springs forth the issues of life. And that term, of course, is the heart. And whatever the heart is, the issues of life come from it. It's the source. We even remember Jesus saying this in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed. And then what does he mention? He mentions evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And there he's talking about those issues of the depraved heart. But there's also other things that come out of the heart besides the depravity. We also have joy. Joy comes out of the heart, right? But joy is also a gift. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. And really, if the heart is depraved, as Jesus says it is, then how much more we need to lean on the Spirit of God so that the fruit of the Spirit could be produced in our lives. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17:9, really gives us an answer as to whether you should trust your heart. Did you know what he says? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you want to trust that? I don't think I want to. And I continue to hear on Christian radio where sometimes you'll have a commercial that comes on that says, trust your heart. And in a way, I kind of know where they're coming from, but in another way, we're talking about something totally different here. Because again, the depraved heart is deceitful. Now, when we're talking about the heart here, we're not talking about that physical organ that pumps blood. That physical organ can't think anything. It can only do what it's designed to do, and that's pump blood throughout your body, right? So it's talking about much more than that. It's really talking about the real you. It's talking about your inner man, your inner person. Jesus said it this way, as he's quoting from Deuteronomy 6. He said, you shall love the Lord your God, how? With all your heart. And then he says, with all your soul and with all your mind. So he's encompassing the real you. He's encompassing the entire person. And again, your physical heart can't love anybody, but the inner heart can. The inner person can. So again, it's talking about all your being. Now, if you look back at verse 23, where he mentions heart, that Hebrew word is leb. It refers to the inner man, refers to the mind, refers to the will, refers to the emotions. It includes all your inclinations, your disposition, your determination, your courage, your will, your intention, your attention, your consideration, your reason. Again, that's not talking about a physical organ. It's talking about the real you. And that word and its synonym occurs 860 times in the Old Testament. It's first used in Genesis 6 and verse 5 to speak of man's evil imaginations and thoughts. It occurs in the next verse to speak of God being grieved in his heart or in his being or in his disposition. It's used in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14 and 1 Samuel 16:7 of the inner man. It's used in Genesis 17:17 of man himself, his personality. So we're talking about here the seat of desire. We're talking about this inclination or this will that is indicated by the heart. So again, it encompasses the entire person. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. How are we to trust the Lord? How does God want us to follow Him? With all of our heart. Now, even though Adam and Eve just really messed things up, but now God saved them. Now they're banished from the garden. They're banished from the tree of life, lest they come to the tree of life and eat of that and be permanently encased in sin. God drove them out of the garden. Man to till the ground. They were to be fruitful and multiply. That command never changed. Just now they were going to have pain associated with it. They would have difficulty in their marriage relationship because of sin. But they had to guard their heart. We're told in Scripture to avoid a double heart. We're told to avoid a hard heart. We're told to avoid a proud heart or an unbelieving heart or an unclean heart or a cold heart. Whatever the heart loves, the ears will hear and the eyes will see. And that's why you must guard it. And so it's important that we guard it at every point. If you look at verse 20, it begins with the ears. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And we see that first body part mentioned there. And essentially what he's going to say in verses 20 to 23 is guard what you hear. Oh boy, how important that is. Sometimes we get into situations where it's difficult to do that. I used to work for a clothing store when I was about 16. And I worked in the men's department, but right across from me was the young men's department. You know what they did in the young men's department? They played all that music that I used to listen to. I'd hear it all day long. And just to get that out of my head. See, that was just that's one of those situations where it's difficult to guard what I hear, because I was forced to hear it. But if I have a choice of what I listen to, yes. Much easier to do, right? Here he is telling him that he needs to listen to his earthly father. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Give attention to this. This is really a theme in Proverbs, that is, listening to your earthly father. That phrase, my son, occurs 11 times as instruction from a father to a son. And in few of the exhortations to his son, we hear him telling them to listen to my words. For example, over in Proverbs chapter 2, you can back up and look at that. He exhorts him on how to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What does he say there? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. One of the greatest things that a father can teach his child is how to fear God. And look, he begins with telling him to listen. Listen. Don't listen to the world. Listen to me. You know, in the early stages of a child, the parents is all they look up to. But as they continue to get older and less dependent on their parents, then they start listening to their friends. They listen to the TV. They listen to the radio. They listen to what they read. Again, they're influenced by their peers. We all did it. But you need to listen to God. Listen to these words, my son, that I'm telling you. Here's how you can find the knowledge of God. Here's how you can understand the fear of the Lord. Go to chapter 5. He also warns him about the immoral woman. He says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Listen to my understanding, son. Chapter 6, he warns him about co-signing on loans. My son, if you become surety for your friend, you put yourself up as a pledge, as a guarantee. If you've shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. If you've come into the hand of your friend, go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. So as you can see, this theme that dominates in the book of Proverbs of a father's instruction to his son, you see the various things that he was teaching his son. And one of the things, of course, that we teach our children is how to honor their parents, right? Exodus 20, verse 12, we're told in the Ten Commandments to honor your father and your mother. That is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6 about honoring your father and your mother. It's repeated in Colossians 3, 20, translated to obey your parents. But let me just point out something else here. Not only are we to listen to our earthly father, but it seems to be very clear from this text that the Holy Spirit is referring to more than just your earthly father. He also wants you to listen to your heavenly father, right? The only time that you're not to listen to your earthly father or your parents is if your parents tell you not to listen to God. Same with government. If the government tells you to disobey God, stop obeying Him, stop listening to Him, stop following Him, then you have every freedom according to Scripture to disobey the government. We are to listen to God first and foremost. And so he says there, give attention to my words. The idea of attention means to listen attentively, to pay attention, to heed. And if you notice, his words are also described as sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings. So you need to listen. Listen to my sayings. Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. You remember on the day that Jesus transfigured himself there on the mountain in Matthew chapter 17? You remember Peter? It's good for us to be here. We'll build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And all of a sudden, a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son. What's he say? Hear him. They fell down as dead men when that voice came from heaven. I think we would have too. But we're not to listen to the world. In fact, we're told in Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way you can renew your mind is by Scripture, by the Word of God. But there's always going to be people that's going to come along and they want you to do what they're saying. And first chapter of Proverbs talks about that. Here, come, put your purse in with us. Let us lie in wait together for blood. He says, no, my son, don't do that. Or even like in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 and following, Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You know, there's some things you don't talk about. There's some language we don't repeat. And again, there's always going to become those that's going to come along. They're going to say, join us in what we're doing. The Lord's not going to judge you for this. He will forgive you. He will give you grace. You have people that come along and do that. Sad thing about that is that happens in the church. When young people are growing up and they're around other young people growing up, experimenting with life, learning what life is all about, experimenting with things they shouldn't experiment with, testing out things they shouldn't test out. Come on, join us. You know, your parents told you that this was sin. Your parents told you you shouldn't do this. It'll be all right. They'll forgive you. Or it'll be all right. They'll never know. We parents have eyes in the back of our heads. Sometimes we act as if we're omniscient. We're everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. We know everything. At least that's what it looks like from a kid's point of view, right? When they learn that you already knew something that they had done. I remember when I was doing drugs back then, I remember literally one day my mom coming in and taking my eyes and pulling them up, looking at my eyes. I could have been real smart about that. Mom, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in there? But there's a certain glaze over your eyes that occur when you're on drugs. And she got wind of that somehow. Remember my dad, when he was first trying to figure this stuff out, finding out where it came from and what it was all about, I was really arrogantly stupid. Even more stupid than I am now, but I was really stupid back then. And one day, I pulled out a bag of pot and I tossed it over to him. I said, you want to know what it looks like? Here's what it looks like. That was the dumbest thing that I could have ever done. But, of course, we have certain things that we've done in our past that we regret. I regret that. It was very disrespectful to my parents. And here, what is he saying? Listen. You need to listen. In a day and age where there's all kind of voices telling you things, the one voice you need to listen to is God's Word. I know we have crowds that come up and they say that God's speaking to them, and I'm really skeptical about that, because you're talking about revelation from God, and God has given us revelation right here. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about the entire Bible. He's given to us what He wants us to know, what He has said. And if you want to hear His Word, read it. If you want to know what it sounds like, if God is speaking to you, guess what? Read it out loud. It's just in your voice. Unless you want to do what they do on these actors when you get to God speaking. Janice. Of course, that's not in the Bible, right? The point is that we are to listen to our Heavenly Father. We're to give attention to His words. We're to incline our ear to His sayings. And His words and His sayings is the Word of God, right? So you really need to be discriminant as to what you hear. And like I said, there's sometimes you get in situations and you can't control what you're being exposed to, because maybe you're in a public place. It's not like you can run over there and tell everybody to stop saying what they're saying, or run over there and tell everybody to turn off their music. You go out in public places, you're exposed to public things, right? And 90 to 95% of the time, it's going to be bad stuff. Because it's not like you're everywhere you go, everybody's a Christian. Everybody wants to honor the Lord with what they're saying and doing and stuff that you're hearing. It's not that everywhere you go, you're going to be encouraged and built up. No. Philippians 4 and verse 8 tells us about the things that we're to think on, things that we're to meditate on. Meditation just basically means you keep thinking about the same thing. You keep rolling it over in your mind. Now, I know we're good at stuff like that because we worry. And we roll that kind of stuff over and over in our mind, right? But that's not what he's talking about here. In fact, we're told in Philippians 4 and verse 6 to be anxious for nothing. That basically means stop worrying. So we're not to worry, but we're to pray. And here, we're to think a certain way. And like I said, we have to be discriminant. What are things that we are to be discriminant about? Well, we don't want to listen to false teaching. We don't want to listen to false teachers. We don't want to listen to lies. We don't want to listen to unbelievers who are trying to tell us spiritual things or trying to interpret the Bible or to tell us their ways that they want us to follow. We're told not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or in the path of sinners. And I would certainly include with what I said earlier, don't listen to your heart. But what does he tell us? In Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. True. And he adds to that, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Meditate on this. Let that dwell in your mind. And there's one thing that I can think of that is truth. It's the Bible. You and I have the privilege to carry a Bible. We can carry it in public. We can carry it in private. We can take it wherever we want to go. We can have it on our phones. We can have it on our TVs. We can have it in book form. We can have it in whatever form you want it in. When I read at night, actually here for the last maybe 2 months, the kids have been reading to me. And so we have a children's Bible that we use, and I've used this with all my kids, read it probably 20, 30 times. And it gives them a chance to read, work on their reading, but also gives them a chance to read the Bible themselves. They have it in book form. I have it on my phone. I don't have a third book. And so they read, I follow. And we listen together to the Word. But the Bible is said to be true. Jesus said in John 17:17, your word is truth. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 142, your law is truth. In verse 151, he says, all your commandments are true. In verse 160, he continues by saying, the entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. And so since it's truth, Psalm 19:7 says it's perfect, it's complete, it's comprehensive. That's what we're to think about. So thinking on whatever is true means that you read the Word, you analyze the Word, and you meditate on the Word. And that right there would take a majority of your time. But think of what kind of person you would be if you read, analyzed, and meditated on the Scripture all the time. After a while, that's going to come out in your conversation. I walked into a store, I think it was Publix down the road, and me and a gentleman met. I stopped, he stopped, we were going to let each other go. Finally, we just went together. He said, let's just go together. And when we walked through, I immediately thought of Matthew 7:13. Enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction. I said it. We walked through and I said, well, let's just hope that on the other side there's no destruction here because the Bible says, you know, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And I remember he looked at me and smiled. I don't know if he was a believer, but it just came out of my mouth, you know. And I think, and I'm not just saying that about me, but I say that about anybody, that if you constantly roll the Scripture over in your mind, it's going to come out of your mouth eventually. You don't have to worry about what to talk about. Sometimes we get all worried about when we're witnessing to someone, well, what do I say? Where do I start? And then we have these little programs to help you, you know, figure that kind of thing out. But listen, if you're in the Word all the time, it's just going to naturally flow out of your mouth. Whether it's meeting a guy at a door that's wide and you walk in and you say a verse, or whether it's something else, you know, you walk outside. We had a beautiful rainbow about a week ago in our backyard, and you could see the whole thing. And what do you think about when you see a rainbow? It's God's promise to the earth that He will not destroy it again with water. And then you think of 2 Peter 3, we'll read it next week, where He talks about the world being destroyed by fire. And of course, you've studied the book of Revelation, you see that happening. We could also say whatever is true is found in God, it's found in Jesus, it's found in the Holy Spirit, and it's found in His Word. And you don't have to look very closely to find the Lord Jesus here in Philippians 4:8. Everything that is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, is found in Him. Amen? It's found in Him. And so Solomon says, not only listen to me, and what we deduce from this is not only to listen to Him, but we need to listen to our Heavenly Father. We need to listen to His words, and we need to make sure that we're not letting them depart from our eyes. Don't close your ears to the truth. Don't look away. Keep your eyes fixed on truth. And maybe in the context of this, your eyes fixed on wisdom. He talks a lot about wisdom in this chapter. But he says things like this elsewhere. Listen to chapter 3, verse 21 of Proverbs. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Or fast forward to Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Why are we to hide this like this? And I would just simply say, when we're instructing our kids and our grandkids from the Word of God, and we're calling them to listen to what we're saying, we essentially are saying in verse 22 that they are life to those who find them. The words that I'm sharing with you today, the words that we're reading right now from God's Word, are life. And not only life, they're life-changing. They're life to those who find them. Their health to all their flesh. And the Word of God is simply that. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:23 that we have been born again through the Word of God. I mean, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. There's life in the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's life in His Word. So we have to guard what we hear. Listen to your earthly father as long as they're following Christ. Yes, sometimes your earthly father may tell you things that are not right, but there has to be a respect and an obedience and a submission. And of course, as long as you're living in your parents' home, you're under their authority and you're under obligation to submit to them. But still, after you come out from under that, there's still a respect, there's still an obedience, there's still an honor that takes place. But not only do we guard what we hear, but look at verse 24, we have to guard what you say. Oh, that's a fun one, right? Guard your mouth. I remember in Psalm 73, been studying about Asaph, and Asaph basically said he had to shut his mouth. He had to put a guard over his mouth because he was envying the wicked. He was looking at their life and their prosperity. He's looking at his life and his struggles and the things he lacks. And he had to put his hand over his mouth to keep from complaining and saying something. You know, sometimes we don't have any discretion there, but we need discretion right there. Because sometimes we say some things that later we regret and we put it out there, right? We should never say these things. And if you don't want to feel like that, then don't say it. Make sure you're thinking the right things. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Amen, right? But he tells them in verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." Now, let me just back up for a moment. Because now he's really telling you how to guard your heart. You do it by guarding what you say. You do it by guarding what you hear. You have to put away from you a deceitful mouth. Whatever's in the heart is going to come out. That doesn't mean you have to let it come out. I know sometimes words slip. You go, "I can't believe I said that. Where in the world did that come from?" Scripture says it came from your heart. So you got to be putting in Scripture. It's like garbage in, garbage out, you know, but you're putting in truth, and truth will flush the garbage out. But you have to put away a deceitful mouth. We have to be careful to have sound speech that cannot be condemned, or speech that is gracious and seasoned with salt. Proverbs 6 tells us it's a worthless or a wicked person who, according to that chapter in those verses, they walk with a perverse mouth. They wink with their eyes. They shuffle with their feet. They point with their fingers. Perversity is in their heart. They devise evil continually. They sow discord. What kind of person is that? He says it's a worthless person. It's a wicked person. It's an unbelieving person that does this. Proverbs 11:9 says it's the hypocrite with his mouth that destroys his neighbor. How does he do it? With his mouth. Proverbs 15:2 says the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So think about that. You got a wicked person, you got an unbelieving person. They have a perverse mouth. They're hypocritical with their mouth. They're foolish with their mouth. How much more we need to guard our mouth, right? Make sure that what comes out of our mouth builds people up and not tear them down. It encourages or exhorts. Sometimes we have to rebuke, but again, you're careful with what you say. And then he says, put away perverse lips. Perverse lips. It's an evildoer that gives heed to false lips. It's a liar that listens to a spiteful tongue. It's your fallenness that gravitates toward that kind of stuff. Again, it comes from your heart. And Proverbs 19:1 says, it would be better to be poor and walk in your integrity than to be one who is perverse in your lips and to be a fool. The issue is your integrity. See, a person of a perverse heart, according to Proverbs 12:8, will be despised. And perverseness breaks the spirit of a person. So you have to guard what you hear, guard what you say. Look at verse 25. Now guard what you see. He talks about the eyes and the eyelids, and he talks about looking straight ahead, and that's really suggesting the idea of walking with a singleness of purpose. One that doesn't turn aside to sin for anything that is unworthy. One who keeps his heart and mind on the wisdom of God, the Word of God. Verse 25, look straight ahead. Keep your eyes straight on the path of wisdom. That's your responsibility. Stay on the straight path. Don't look for anything else. Like Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, as people look at riches, people play the lottery, and they get involved in all that, and they say, if only I could win this, then I would give all this to this. I hear this all the time. If I could win the lottery, I would give a big offering to the Lord. It's like, well, God doesn't need your offering, and God doesn't want you to play the lottery. It's gambling. And right down the road from us, at the corner of Dunn's Creek and New Berlin, that little game spot right there is a gambling hotspot. Open 24 hours. And how do you know it's a gambling hotspot? You don't see any kids going in there. It's all adults going in and out. And they have those same things set up all over the city, even though Jacksonville has a law against it. And the city council gave them the permit. Isn't that crazy? Don't look for riches. Proverbs 23, verse 4, do not overwork to be rich. because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. All of a sudden you come into all of this, and just in a short time it's all gone. Where'd it go? Well, it had wings. It flew away. But that flight didn't happen on its own. That flight came with your desire for something. And he says in verse 26, don't turn to the left or to the right. And that goes back to what he's saying. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead. I remember Chuck Swindoll talking about when he was in the military and he was stationed overseas, and he said that there were certain places that they could go, you know, when they had their time to do that, but they had to pass a certain place to get to where they were going. And he said, when you walked, you kept your eyes straight ahead. You didn't look to the left, you didn't look to the right. You just looked straight ahead, because on the left and on the right were things that you didn't want your eyes to see. As you know, you put this stuff in your mind, it's there. Your brain takes pictures of this, and then you get video on top of that, and it captures all of this stuff, and it comes back later, and you relive it. You know, some sins are just simply that. You go back and relive the temptation. And when you fail. So don't turn to the left or to the right. One writer says, all along the highway, to the right and to the left, there are side streets and alleys which lead to the haunts of sin. Let's be true to Jesus, though 1,000 voices from the world may call. So don't get distracted. Stay straight ahead. You know, when the children of Israel were about to receive the Ten Commandments, they came to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai had smoke and fire. It was trembling. People were warned not to touch it or they would be killed. They couldn't touch the mountain or they'd die. And so Moses is rehashing all of this to the generation that would actually go into the land. Because you remember the first generation, they didn't obey the Lord. And they didn't believe the Lord to give them the land. So they had to wander in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 5:32, Moses says to them, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Stay fixed. Fixed on that one thing. That one thing. He told them later in Deuteronomy 28:14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Stay fixed on the truth. Stay fixed on God. Stay fixed on His Word. Joshua did the same thing. Joshua 23:6. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And what's he say there in Proverbs chapter 4? Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Stay fixed. Fixed on what? Context is wisdom. Context are the sayings of his father. This counsel, this advice. And we extract from that, stay fixed on the counsel of God. So guard what you hear, guard what you say, guard what you see. Last, guard where you go. You know, before I became a believer, I used to frequent bars. I had a couple of reasons why I went there. One was to get drunk. The other one was to find a girl. The third one was to find a job. So I could take the girl. No, I was playing in a band, so I wanted to play these clubs. Okay. Well, when you get drunk, you certainly aren't a candidate to talk to anybody about anything. I used to go to these places. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't go back in them. It wasn't a place for me. I did go and stand outside of one and pass out tracts one night. In fact, it was the night I got saved. And I went, passed out some tracts, tried to talk to my friends that were going and coming about Jesus, and they were just laughing at me, you know, you'll be back. You'll be back. Hadn't been back. It's been over 34 years. Don't plan to go back. What I hate now, and I've told you this before, is how now restaurants have bars in the middle of them. And when we go to these restaurants, I say, seat me as far as you can from that spot right there. I don't want to be around that. I don't want to smell that. I don't want to see that. Hide me. So they put me outside. No, We have to guard where we go. He says in verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Ponder, weigh it, is what the word means. Weigh your conduct, as in a balance. Before you act, consider the consequences and the nature of the act. Think before you speak, think before you act. In fact, ponder literally means to make level. Some say make a level path for your feet. Could mean be careful as you go. I like what Psalm 119 verse 59 says. It says, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I thought about my ways. How often do we think about our ways? Ponder our feet. Weigh our conduct. Well, he says here to do that. Ephesians 5:15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, that is wise. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In verse 26, he talks about removing all these obstacles. Remove your foot from evil. Verse 27. Verse 25, the gaze is to be concentrated. Here the feet are not to deflect. They're not to turn aside to byways. Nothing is permitted to draw you off the right way, whether it be adversity or prosperity or anything that can possess the power of temptation. You know, and we have that temptation because when you've had a lot of adversity, there's the temptation to get mad at God as if He is responsible for what you're going through. Then on the other side, if you have too much, then you're trusting that and you're not trusting the Lord. I want to trust the Lord, period. And I want to be wise with what He's given me. And I want to use it wisely. And I want to use it to honor Him. And so to do that, I have to guard my heart. Say you have a little bit of money at the end of the month. You go into the store and you see something that you've seen before. You didn't have the money then to afford it, but you have the money now to afford it. Now you have to ask the question, do I really need this? Is this really something that I can use this extra money for? Now, sometimes it may be a necessity, right? You just have the money to meet the need of that necessity. Other times, it's just a want. Boy, that's easy to do because, you know, I have like 9 or 10 guitars. I don't need another one. Boy, but when I see one, I feel like I need another one. So I have this shirt that says, I want that guitar, that guitar, that guitar, that guitar. That's what my shirt says. Not this one, obviously. Because I just, you know, I like it. But I don't need it. I certainly don't need to spend the money for it. That'd be like, you know, I have cars that run fine. Walk up on a car lot because we take our vehicles to the dealer because of the warranty on it. And I look at it, you know, I like that. I want that one. Well, I don't need that car. I've got a car. It works fine. And see, you have to go back between need and wants, right? But he tells him here, you got to guard where you go. You got to ponder the path of your feet. You got to remove your foot from evil. And that's really what Proverbs 16:17 says. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. And of course, Romans 12:9 tells us how we are to do this. We're to love without hypocrisy. We're to hate what is evil, cling to what is good. That's what we're to pursue after. So keep your heart. And let me just back up because I didn't spend a lot of time on verse 23, but let me just read it back to you the way it reads in the Hebrew. Keep your heart with all keeping. See how important it is to keep your heart? For out of it spring the issues of life. Everything in our life revolves around our heart. And that's why I said you got to be careful because sometimes your heart can send you the wrong kind of signals. Now, I've told someone the other day, even though you're thinking this way, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to do it. You need to replace those thoughts. You need to think on things that are true and honest and pure and lovely. Philippians 4:8. You need to meditate on those things. And again, he's telling us essentially, as I said when we started, now what? Here's the now what. Guard yourself. Yes, you have sin to contend with, Adam and Eve, but you need to guard yourself. Well, at that moment, they didn't have to worry about what to hear. They knew Satan had told them some stuff. They should have been guarded before that. But there's nobody on the planet, so it's just each other. And yeah, maybe they could tell each other some stuff that's not right to say, because now they have the presence of sin, the temptation of sin. But are you guarding yourself? Are you guarding what you hear? Are you guarding what you say? Are you guarding where you go? If you're not guarding these things, then you're really not guarding your heart. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Paul said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." The Lord's weighing our ways and our hearts as well as our actions. And we have to do the same thing. And really, essentially, what delivered me from my ways 34 years ago was my friend telling me that I needed to repent and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And He'd forgive me of all my sin, but I had to repent. That was the Lord's conditions for me to be granted salvation, and the same conditions for everyone, is you have to repent and believe. But there are people out there that want to come their way. And if you come any other way, you're not coming. And you're not being given the gift of salvation. But aren't you thankful that we did come His way? And aren't you thankful that we are following His way? And we don't want to veer to the left. We don't want to veer to the right. We want to stay straight ahead, fixed on Him. I mean, think of it this way as we close. Colossians 3:1. If you've been risen with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with Him in glory. Wouldn't that be a good passage to memorize? I put it to music. But He's telling you, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on Christ. Because again, there are so many voices in this world telling you otherwise. So what? Yeah, pursue holiness. How do I do that? Here's how you do that. You guard what you hear, you guard what you say, you guard what you see, and you guard where you go. You guard your heart, because out of it spring the issues of life. That's the so what. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning and this day You've given to us. We thank You for this time we've had together in studying Your Word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will apply what we've heard. Very practical words that are found here in Proverbs chapter 4. Help us again to apply these truths. Help us to honor You, to obey You, to worship You by doing what You say. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this time that has been set aside and dedicated to study it. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that we will respond appropriately to it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.